We are really glad to have all of you here today at church. If you pay attention to the person who was doing the Bible reading today, Gabriela was doing the reading of Isaiah chapter 53, which is the servant, God's servant. And it's kind of like a sad story when you are reading that in the scripture, describe all the sufferings of this person and how he will be rejected and how people will don't pay attention to him. And we believe all that is applicable, is applied to Jesus Christ and his life and his ministry, but especially to his death at the cross and in behalf of us and salvation. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit about leadership. And we were discussing at Sabbath School a character that I didn't intend it when I wrote these sermons a couple of weeks ago. I didn't know that it would be coincide when the saying teaching a Sabbath School. And our sermon is based in the life of Peter. And before we enter to study the life of Peter, I just want to make a simple warning, okay? Our warning is that in occasions we look at the people in the Bible and we distance ourselves. It's like we are looking through a window, right? And we are seeing these people and how they behave and the things that they did, but we don't place ourselves into the picture. It's kind of like we are outsiders. Oh, poor guy, he did all these mistakes. I'm glad that I'm not like him, right? So we need to be careful with that attitude, because in reality, when you are reading the scripture, instead of being like a mirror, it's more like a mirror. It's a self-reflection of your life and my life. So I feel like all of us can benefit from some of the mistakes that he make and the lessons that we shouldn't repeat, right? The second thing that I want to mention to you is that we shouldn't judge people really quick too harsh, right? Remember, when you look at the life of Peter, and the Bible is quite honest and complete in detailing the good and the bad, right? So at the beginning in the Gospels, you encounter a Peter who has recently met Jesus and he is called to do ministry, but he continued being Peter. He never pretended to be someone else. That's his personality, that's his nature. But then you see gradually a transformation in his life. The Peter that you find, for instance, in the Acts of the Apostles, it's a different Peter than the one who was walking with Jesus. Now, when you look at Peter in his later years, especially in, like, for instance, the epistles, the first epistle of Peter, you notice that his tone, his message is more tender, it's more loving, it's more kind. It seems like some people, when they get older, they tend to become more sweet, right? They had this fragrance of the love of Jesus Christ impregnated in their lives. Not all people is like that. I have to warn you. You know, like you should have met my grandma. You know, like that. She wasn't like that. She was quite serious business. So, but some people they tend to be tender and loving and sweet, and it's because God is working in their hearts. And the more God works in your heart, the more transformed you be. So the experts in leadership had mentioned that basically leadership has some aspects that we can repeat, that we should follow. The first aspect is like vision. What is the vision of the leader? What is this leader trying to accomplish, right? In what direction is he going? The second is abilities. What abilities is this person bringing to the table? The third one had to do with power, right? I'm sorry, I'm just jumping ahead of myself. The third one had to do with relationships. How this person relate to others. It's a normal behavior, or you think it's a little abnormal? The four had to do with power. Power have a tendency to change people. Sadly, for the worse, instead of helping them to be better, they tend to get bad. And finally, the last characteristic that they look is what kind of like environment, what kind of climate these leaders foster in their organization, in their community. Remember, you are a leader of the church. Maybe you are highly involved in the church, or maybe you do little things for the church. I don't know. Doesn't matter. But you have a level of influence in this church and in your family and in your community. So our actions in occasions can affect others, right? If you have a good action, that can be an inspiration for other people. But if we have bad actions, that can be a detriment for other people, right? Like a deterrent. They don't want to be with me because the way I behave or the way I'm acting. Nothing to do against the organization or Christianity itself is that as a representative of Jesus Christ, in occasions I tend to discourage people to follow our Lord. That can happen to us, right? So let's go and look some aspects of the life of Jesus, Peter, in the Gospels, and let's talk a little bit about that. And the first part that we will need to talk is about what was Peter's vision. And let's go and do some reading here in Matthew 19, 27. So today you will do, if you want to, you can do a lot of reading. If you don't want to do a lot of reading, you can do a lot of listening, right? So it's your choice. You can do whatever is more convenient for you. But here in Matthew 19, you encounter the story of the rich young ruler. Remember the story? This young man, very powerful, have a lot of money, have an encounter with Jesus. What was his intention? Why he had this encounter with Jesus? What was his main intention? You remember in the story? He wanted to follow whom? Jesus? He wanted to obtain eternal what? Eternal life, right? So this man is approaching Jesus because he have a desire, he have a need, and his need is, I want to be saved, I want to be in heaven, right? And that gives you an idea that people in occasions follow God because they have some special interest. It can be something that is in reference to a blessing, or it can be in reference to something that they want. Now, if you are kind enough, let's go do some reading here in verse 27. Then Peter answered, after the young man has left, you remember the story, and said to him, meaning Jesus Christ, see, we have left all and followed you, therefore, what should we have? So what is the question that Peter is asking Jesus Christ? Think about that question for a moment. Peter is telling Jesus, Lord, we left everything, my family, my job, my business, so what is my payment, right? Where is my reward? What are you giving me back? Have you ever approached God with that attitude? Have you ever approached God expecting that he will give you something in return? You know, some of us in occasions made a mistake, right? If you notice today, we collect the tithes and offerings. And some people have this idea that if you return the money to God, God is obligated to give you more money, right? Have you heard that concept? Yeah, it's called the gospel of prosperity. It's very popular today in America. People think the more you give to God, it's like the more he's obligated to give back to you. Is that true? Is the Bible, is salvation about money? You know, that's a very clear misinterpretation of the principle that God is trying to help us. The reason, what is the main reason, by the way, for tithes and offerings? Why we give back money to God if he doesn't need it? Why people do that? Well, let me help you with that. I feel like God is trying to help us to be less selfish. I remember the story about this preacher who was collecting the tithes and offerings and then have this private conversation with God. I said, God, here is all the money that we collected, so let's split this thing because, we need to continue living our lives. So he threw all the money in the air and said, well, take whatever you want and the rest, just give it back to me, right? Don't approach tithing and offerings with that attitude because that's the wrong attitude. That's a very secular, material approach to something that is very special. What God is trying to teach us is that we get really attached to material things, we don't want to let go, and we become really selfish, right? So Peter is pretty much the same like you and me. He's saying, I leave my family, I've been working for you 3 years, so where is my payment? That is an indicator that Peter's vision about ministry, it was about him, right? It was not about other people. It was about whom? Him. He wanted to know what is God giving him back in payment. Now, what was the main discussion that the apostles used to have when they were walking along Jesus? You remember? The gospel mentioned, they give you a hint. What they used to fight for? Who is the first? Who is the most important person? Why do you think they were discussing always about the same thing? Why do you think it's important to know who is the first? Because it's about resources, it's about money. Who had more important position, who will get more resources, and who will be the better benefits. So in reality, they were expecting a kingdom, an early kingdom, with immediately rewards for them. So that gives you an idea that Peter's vision at the beginning was a little distorted, right? Instead of following God and Jesus for the sake of love and serving humanity, he was trying to pursue something in there. Now, the Bible mentioned that in certain occasion, Peter had a correction that he made to Jesus. You know, that was part of his personality. Jesus is making a question, and the question is, who do you think I am? You remember that? Matthew 16. And somehow the Holy Ghost inspired Peter to say, well, you are the Messiah. And Jesus was really excited. I said, great. God has revealed this to you. But then when you continue reading in the same portion of the scripture, you discover that he did something interesting there too. And let's go do some reading here in Matthew 16, number 22. And really close, so I will jump really fast and do the reading here. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be from you, Lord, that you should happen to you. So what is Peter doing here? He is correcting whom? Jesus. Can you believe that if we invite Jesus to our church today and somebody approached the Lord and start telling him, Lord, I think you need to change the way that how you dress, you know, 2,000 years, sandals and this way, but today you need to dress like a pastor, right? And maybe somebody will start giving him advice on what to eat or what to drink, right? It's our nature to try to correct what? Other people, right? But pay attention to this. This vision is based in how I feel about my group, about my community. Why I do things for my community, for my church. I'm doing these things because I want to help other people, or I'm doing these things because I want the benefit. Do you think that we will have members at church that they had the need of control or power? Do you think that we have people like that in churches? Yes, we do. It's sad, but it's like that. And we need to be careful because power can affect your personality and affect my personality too. That's why we need to be careful in how we handle power, right? When you get in power too much, it can affect you. Now, the second aspect that I want to mention about Peter today is how he overestimated his abilities. And Gabriela was mentioned this morning that near the end, you find this in John, for instance, John chapter 13. They are having the Last Supper, right? And Jesus is telling them, I'm going to die and you will betray me. So what was Peter's answer at that time? You remember? Think about it. Even if all of them, what? Abandon you. All right, I won't abandon you. So what is Peter doing there? He is doing an overestimation of his faith. Let me ask you another question. Was Peter being honest at the time? What do you think? Yeah. He loved his master. He loved Jesus. He even was willing to die for Jesus. What happened when he finally get confronted with reality? When Jesus get arrested, what was Peter's reaction? You remember that? Peter's reaction when Jesus was arrested is a very interesting reaction. It's a very violent reaction. He took a sword and he was trying to decapitate somebody. He was trying to defend God by force. He was angry and he was ready to fight for Jesus. Remember that incident? And Jesus said, don't do that. And he healed the servant. And the whole story progressed until the point that he get confronted by a servant girl in this kind of like a little patio that they were outside. And so how Peter demonstrated to these people that he wasn't a Jesus follower, how he proved to them that he wasn't a follower of Jesus. He started behaving like whom? Like them, like a pagan, that somebody who doesn't care for Jesus. He started cursing, he started denying the man, he started insulting at the man. And in that conversation, somehow the rooster finally crowed and he remembered Jesus' words and he's broken there, right? And interesting enough, some of us, in occasions, we need to be broken in order to be revealed. Because we have so much issues that God is trying to, oh, let me do this. So finally, the only way to do it is let's broke and begin again, right? Let's reveal this person from the bottom up. So that's what happened to Peter. He overestimated his abilities. I want you to think about another incident that happened to him. You know the story, I'm pretty sure. Jesus is coming to the disciples at nighttime. He's walking over the water, right? And they are afraid. They thought that he was a ghost. So who spoke in the story? You remember? Who is the person who is speaking in the story for the first time? It's Peter. Read the story again. And he said, if you are Jesus, allow me to walk over the water and get close to you, right? You remember that? So what is Peter doing there? He's not correcting Jesus. He's giving Jesus what? He's giving like instructions, right? is giving the orders to Jesus. If you really are who you say you are, you need to do this for me first. Have you ever approached God with that intention? That we are start praying and say, well, God, if you don't do this, then I know that you are not real. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and our faith is growing always, right? And you will understand if a person that has just recently met Jesus behaving this way, because, okay, they need to grow. They are in the process of getting more acquainted with Jesus. But when somebody who had been in a church or know about the gospel for a long time start behaving like that, that's an indication that something is wrong with the faith of this person, right? They need to develop more trust. So you remember Jesus allowed Peter to walk over the water, and what happened in the process that he's walking out of the boat and getting close to Jesus? You remember the story. What happened to Peter? Why he sink? He started paying attention again to himself, right? He become a little braggadocious right there. He's very proudful. And that start getting his attention away from the Lord to the point that he's finally sinking. So again, you discover there that not only his vision was distorted, but also he had overestimation in his abilities in terms of being loyal and honest to Jesus Christ. What about Peter's relationship? How he relate to other people? He was a very pleasant human being to be around, or he was a little unpleasant in occasions? What do you think? He was a little unpleasant. And he was quite abrasive when he needed to be, right? When people gave to, you know, insolent, he would let them know how he feel about them. You have incidents, for instance, in the way that he was manipulating and doing things in order to have some credit, some honor. So let's go do some reading here in Matthew 26, verse 31 to 35. Matthew 26, verse 31 to 35. Again, this is the same story that we were mentioned before. This is Jesus speaking. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. What is written? I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before to you to Galilee. Peter answered, right, again, for the whole group, and said to him, even if all of these people made me stumble because of you, I will never make you be made to be a stumble. Now, in our current lingo, we will say today, what Peter was doing is was throwing everybody under the what? Under the bus, right? He's making everybody look back because he want to look what? He want to look good. How do you encounter people like that in your family? Come on. Tell me the truth. Some of you have been married for a long time. Have your spouse ever behaved like that? And how that made you feel when we behave like that as spouses or people in your family? Does it make you angry that somebody in the family is putting you down because they want to go up? Or when somebody at church is behaving like that? That's a clear symptom and indicator there that the way these people handle relationship with others is more like I'm using them to accomplish my goal. Do you think that's the right approach to leadership here at the church? I am here as a pastor, and I need to use you, you, and you, and you, because I want to accomplish my goals. So the conference will look at me and say, wow, what a great pastor Ben it is. So I will get promoted to a better place. How that made you feel? Right? It's sad. But in occasions, we behave like that. We shouldn't treat people like that. We are working together as a team. We have to respect each other's abilities and weakness and support each other. Work together to help each other, right? You know, one of the things that I want to make a caution here to all of you is that how we use our words, our language, can be an inspiration or can be a detriment for our community, right? It's easy for us to go into the negative, especially when the things are going bad, right? Who wants to come to a church that don't even have water? Think about that. They don't even have bathrooms. What, we are in Africa now or what? You know, like, you would, let me stay at my house. I can watch 3ABN there or the Andrews University or whatever. You know, I'd be comfortable in there. So it's easy for you and for me to, in occasions, move into the negative spectrum, and you ignore that even in the difficulties, even through a struggle, God can be a blessing to you, right? You know, I want to tell you something about prayer that happened to me this week. During all this process, I discovered that we need to reapply for a new well. And I don't know if you know this, but every single time that you are working with government, it's challenging because it's a lot of steps that you need to do, right? You fill the application, then you go to the office, and then you get the seal, and then you get the inspector to come to the property and meet you, and then after that, they will study your permit for 2 or 3 weeks, and they will come back to you, and they will say, yes, go ahead, but let us do some testing when you finish, and then we will give you another permit, and then finally you can use the well. How I know this? Ask me. Because we did it already one time. So in my mind, I say, no, man, will be really, really challenging. So I contact the gentleman who is the engineer for the Aiken County in charge of the wells, and he was graciously enough to meet me here at the church. It was like around 1 o'clock, very hot, Tuesday. And I explained him what happened to us. And he said, you know what? Don't worry about the permit. It's $250. Don't worry about the permit. You don't need a new permit. But what we'll do is use the old one, so it will be faster for you. So in my mind, like, ah, great, you know, like, I'm so excited because I know it's a problem, but I know somehow God is continuing working and sending people to help us. Have you noticed that in your life, even in the difficult times, God sends some people to encourage you, to help you? So in our church as a community, we should be the same way, right? If I notice that some of you is going through a trouble and a struggle, what I should do? Not only pray for you, but maybe give you a call. I know, Becky, you are having this difficult time. I know somehow God will come, you know, what about Sister Lexine? I know you're having a difficult time, but remember the Lord will come for you. Nick, I know you have a difficult time, but remember God will come for you. And if you look at everybody here, we will think about that, and somehow, in some way, God is always coming for us, right? Answering and responding in ways that we don't even imagine it can happen. So Peter had a problem with relationship with other people. He was a little bossy. And not only he was a little bossy, he has some issues with racial issues. And that's what we were talking in the lesson this morning. The reason that he didn't want to meet with this person in the book of Acts is because he felt that was an offense to the cause of God to get in contact with somebody that didn't belong to God's people. That was he had a very high standard in his opinion, right? I don't want to talk to anyone or deal with anyone unless they are people that belong to the church. What do you think about that? We should do the same today. You shouldn't have any friends outside the church because maybe they drink or maybe they smoke or maybe they go to parties. And we don't drink, we don't smoke. So what kind of business we have with these people? What do you think? We should have friends like that? Of course we need to have friends like that because that's how God is making an influence through you in the life of these persons. Who else will go up to there if they don't know anyone else? So God is sending the best that he have, that in this case is you, to be his witness and impress the heart and the minds of these other people. So please don't reject other people because maybe they are smokers. And I know we are all, you know, concerned about secondhand smoke and all this. You know, pray about that. What about if they don't talk the way that we should expect them to talk, right? They don't have the most cleanest language. We need to have some patience and some endurance and love for these people because some of us, we used to be like that too, right? And somehow God is rescuing us and transforming us. Retaining power. This is an element that leaders need to pay attention. The concept is that in any healthy church or organization, the power need to be distributed among the majority of the members. It shouldn't be under the control of one person. What happens when you have a very charismatic speaker and leader and everybody follow what the leader say? What do you think can go wrong in there, in that picture? You think something can go wrong in there? So why people continue going to churches following the preacher? Why we continue doing that? And you think about that? One of the biggest churches right now, Willow Creek, is going through a big, big deal of problems. Have you read the news, right? What happened at the church? This is a mega church with more than probably 10,000 members. It's a lot of people in that community. Well, they have a pastor that he wasn't there for 40 years. That guy pretty much founded and created the whole organization. And after 40 years, it comes to the lie that this gentleman has been a sexual molester of many members of his church. And finally, he gets expelled from that community. So the damage is devastating. You see what I'm trying to explain here? If you concentrate power in only one person, We are making the mistake of creating an idol right there, right? And every idol that we have requires worship. Some people worship people at church. Can you believe that? I have some members who they, unless they listen to Doug Bachelor, they won't listen to anyone else. You know, I can't explain it something, but if Pastor Doug Bachelor says it, oh, that's true. Yeah, that's indeed the right comment. Like, I'm just using Doug Bachelor. I like Doug Bachelor, by the way. Nothing against Pastor Bachelor. I'm just giving you an example, right? We tend to idolize human beings, and we need to be careful with that. You are here, you are part of this church, you are part of this community. God has given you talents and gifts, and you can make contributions to the church. But this is a community effort. All of us working together, right? Trying to listen to each other. It's not always easy, because in occasions we don't like to listen, but we need to make an effort to listen to other opinions too. It's important for us in there. So Peter was having an issue with power. And you find examples of that. For instance, in John 21, 20 to 22, this is the last conversation that Jesus had with Peter and with John. Jesus gave instructions to Peter, asking, did you love me? He said, yes, three times, you remember? Shepherd the sheep. And then he go and start having a conversation with John. You remember that part? And then what Peter did? He started asking Jesus, what is the meaning of that? Let me put it in more simple terms. I'm having a conversation here with Tom, right? A-B, only Tom and I, we're talking here, right? And then out of the blue, some of you come back and ask Tom, what is the pastor telling you? How do you call that person? It's inquisitive, yeah, that's a very delicate way to say it. But more than inquisitive, I will say that's a busybody, right? Mind your own business. That's what we'll say in normal language. So that's Peter. That's his personality. He wants to know why Jesus is giving this instruction to John. It wasn't his business. That's between God and him. That's it, right? Because this is a personal relationship. And we want to control that. You find hints in how his personality was always like that. He was always the first who opened to his mouth. Did you know that in the gospel, we found at least 8 occasions in what Peter said no to Jesus? 8 occasions. And the jewel of all these occasions, you found it in the book. Let me do some reading here in Luke 9:33. When I was reading this, kind of like, made me wonder about my brother Peter. Luke 9:33. It happens that they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, this is when Jesus is transformed, remember that, at the mountain, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing why he what? His mouth was talking, but his brain wasn't what? Connected. Had that ever happened to you? It happens tons of times to me. Like, I am talking and talking and without realizing that I'm saying maybe the inappropriate thing, right? So we need to be careful in that. If you are talking about something, it's because you know what you're talking about, right? If you don't know anything, then what you'll do is be silent, right? If you want to offer an opinion to somebody, okay, make an opinion. You are making that opinion because you think that you want to make better, like a contribution to the issue, right? Don't make an opinion about something being negative and leave it there. Like, I don't like the menu for lunch today. Okay, so what is your alternative? What is your solution for that? But you don't say anything else. That interjection right there is incomplete. You should say, I don't like the menu today here. I will contribute doing this dish for my house, right? And that's what I brought, this amazing soup that you will have the opportunity to try today from Pastor Ben if you stay for potluck. Otherwise, we'll tell you. Just a little commercial in there. But moving back. So that was Peter's problem there. In occasions, he was talking and he didn't realize that. When you combine all these elements in a human being, you will create something that the leaders experts call an unstable climate, meaning that the environment at work or the environment at that community or the environment at that church becomes toxic. People get hurt. Their feelings get hurt. They don't want to participate. They don't want to work. And I will tell you this. This is a true story. Don't ask me for more details, but this happened to me recently. I get a call from somebody, not from this church, by the way, from another location, and this person was really sad. He was telling me, I don't want to come back to that church. So I was inquiring, why? Well, what happened? Well, this person invited us to eat lunch at his house. And when we were there at his house, This other person started making comments, racially insensitive comments about black people. And I don't know if they noticed, but it happened to be that I'm African American. And they probably continued talking and making nonsense comments in a meal that it was supposed to be between brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, in occasions, our words can be a terrible detriment for other people. So I had to start talking to this person. I said, listen, don't make that decision yet. Why you didn't go and talk to this person? Maybe they didn't mean to say what they say, or maybe they were foolish and they didn't know what they were saying. But the more I think about it, the more angry kind of like start getting. Why? Because the person who was talking to me happened to be a member of the church. The person who made insensitive comments is not. So it's a difficult situation because you don't want anyone to get hurt, right? So you want the church to have a healthy climate where everybody feels welcome, right? Do you feel safe at church? Do you feel that if you make a comment, nobody will make a ridicule of your comment, that nobody will be mocking you? Do you feel that you can opinion yourself and nobody will criticize you? Because I hope that the Aiken Church, you feel like that, right? That you are entitled to say your opinion. We don't always listen to your opinion, but you are entitled to express your opinion, right? That we shouldn't make fun of anyone because they are expressing their opinion. That if you want to do something big or small for this church, we are very appreciative of any effort that you make for this church. Indeed, we're really appreciative because without you, this church won't operate. And many of you continue working in a silent way for this community, and that to me says a lot. From the bottom of my heart, I say thank you. You shouldn't do that because you are not an employee of this congregation, but you continue working. So that to me is an indicator that you love God and you want to help us, right? It's your kindness. So reflecting in the life of Peter and some of the mistakes that he made, I want you to think about the following things. We all can learn from there because, to be honest, we all have some similarities with Brother Peter, right? And the things that we say, or how we express our comments. Number two, we should all be able to grow in this community. Amen? I want you to feel welcome to this church, but I want you also to be responsible for the things that we say, right? If you say something, own it, right? What the Bible said about speaking the truth in love. Have you read the text in the Bible? Oh, let's do some reading here, Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. We shouldn't talk to each other with the truth, but also we should do it in a loving way. That's what the scripture recommends for everybody. Right here in the Bible, in Ephesians 4, 14 and 15, this is what the Apostle Paul is advising the church. Well, we should no longer be like children, tossed and carried from when every wind of doctrine by trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. It is no way for us to stop somebody who come into our community and do harm. There's no way for us to stop that person like that. Because this is an open community, right? But it's our duty and our responsibility if somebody is saying something wrong, inappropriate, hurtful, that we should talk to this person with kindness and with love and say, listen, your comments are hurtful, right? That's the Christian thing to do. To the person who's making the comments, according to Matthew 18, right? If your brother sins against you, you go and talk to what? To your brother or your sister first. So that's the basic step in relationship in any community. Personal level, talk one-on-one. We need to be careful in how we handle things at church. But I want you to think about one more important element. This is Peter giving advice to the church toward the end of his ministry. And I want you to think about these words because I think they are very powerful. This is found in 1 Peter chapter 5. And we will do some reading here in verse number 1 through 5. And the advice is here for the elders, but I think this is applicable to all of us, right? So think about this. To the Aiken church members, and I'm paraphrasing here, the Bible says to the elders of the church, but I'm saying to the Aiken church people, you know, all and John. Is this right? I exhort you, who I am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving us as overseers, not by compulsion, but by willingly, not to dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. That's an amazing and beautiful message, you don't think? This is a Peter that was transformed by the power of God. He was no longer this person that was very presumptuous or that he thought that he was better than anyone else. He was a very humble man at the end. And that's the goal for all of us. You know, we need to learn that lesson. That we are here, we will make our contribution, and we will continue in our journey, right? A few days ago, we have the funeral for Sister Lola Newman, and some of you met her and some of you didn't meet her. But I want to mention briefly that Lola was a very kind and loving Christian person at this church. The ones who had the benefit and the opportunity to meet her, we got blessed by her personality. She was a very quiet lady, but she was super sweet, always in such a delicate way talking to other people. And the majority of the people, they didn't know, but she had to take care of her husband who happened to suffer from dementia. And I don't know if you have experienced that in your family. It's not easy when you are dealing with mental issues. And she did it for many, many years with love for her husband, with such a loyalty that is very rare to find today. You see, when people today in marriages, they found trouble and problems, what do? See you, no? I will see you, my friend, and walk away. But no, this is a different kind of human being. She stayed with him until the moment that he died. And that's an inspiration for all of us, an example to follow. And now Sister Lola is resting in the Lord too. But the reason that I mention her today is because, like her, we also should be trying to be kind and loving and helping each other and continue growing in Christ. That's my prayer and my blessing for you today, that we will continue growing in Christ. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, today as a church, we are here standing in front of you, asking you for forgiveness, asking you, Lord, to continue empowering our church so that we can do the mission that you had given us here in Aiken. Lord, we acknowledge that we are not perfect, but we continue growing and we want to be transformed. We realize, oh Lord, that the way that you transform people is through the power of the Scripture. Help us to read and to remember the beautiful words of Jesus Christ, the instruction that you have given us. Use your Holy Spirit to remind us of our actions and how we need to be mindful of the things that we say and the things that we do that can be examples for salvation in other people. Please, Lord, today bless us all as a church, and whatever we decide to do when the rest of this Sabbath, give us your presence, give us your company, so we can continue rejoicing and worshiping you today. In Jesus' name, amen.